Hello, everybody. This is Vaughn Edmead. Again, you are listening to Average is Failure. Just a quick heads up, I can tend to be a little bit scatterbrained at times. And so Average is Failure has taken many, many iterations over the past going on 8 years that I've had this brand. But right now, I think that whereas it originally was simply a motivational slogan that I used to have, I really think that more and more and more God has led me to really ground this in terms of a gospel-centered brand, a brand that seeks to help people learn more about the Bible, and understand and meet Jesus Christ, and hopefully begin to become disciples of Jesus Christ. In keeping with that spirit, I decided to design some apparel around that I'm currently working on. If you want to stay tuned to that, you can go to Average is Failure on Instagram. That'll be probably the main place where I house a lot of that stuff, and working on website and getting all these things ready to launch. But one of the things that I didn't want to do was to launch simply an apparel brand about God and about Jesus Christ more specifically and the gospel, and not really create content that helps people understand, you know, why I'm making these shirts and helps people understand ultimately the message that I'm hoping will impact their lives and allow them to have impact in other people's lives. So that being said, I thought that today was fitting for me to maybe begin again releasing some content on the podcast. I've also done some on Instagram already that hopefully will help people during this COVID crisis that we're in. I think that there's some biblically centered themes that have come to my mind. And I think that some of you might find it helpful. And if you don't find it helpful, I apologize, but we send condolences out to anybody who's lost anybody to this disease throughout the world. And, you know, we hope that we find a solution to it quickly, you know. And for those of you who are, you know, experiencing, feeling some type of way about having to stay home or what have you, we're right there in solidarity with you. But speaking of that, those things tie into what I want to talk about today. And so I wrote a little something here that I'm just going to read it off to you. Maybe I'll take some divergent paths from, you know, what I've written. But I think most clearly when I write something out. So I'll use that as my foundation. And so I'll just jump right into it. Because COVID kind of reminds me of this thing in this concept in the Bible, or what we're going through, how we're handling COVID reminds me of the concept called the Sabbath for the land. And so what I wrote is, it's amazing how so many of us complain about wanting time to just stop and do nothing and get away from the hustle and bustle of work, but not even millionaires who have everything they need ever really stop working. There are ramifications to this, though, to this approach to life. In a go, go, go society, we have done damage both to ourselves and to our world. Sorry there, I thought I heard something. We gutted the earth for resources without ever replenishing them. We have exhausted our human resources, and people are burnt out as well, often leading to physical, mental, emotional, and social challenges. People are treated like machines instead of reflections of God. We find ourselves in a strange time. There have been times where individual nations or continents have experienced widespread crises, but this has been the first time since the world wars, you know, in my limited knowledge of history, of course, that the whole world appears to be in crisis together, facing the same imminent danger. The coronavirus, COVID-19, as it's called, has forever impacted how we approach the most basic of functions. A hug, a handshake, or a kiss, which we normally use as forms of endearment, could very well be the demise of a vulnerable loved one. This has forced the whole world to remain shut in their homes and forced the rest of us to relax and forced us to rest and relax, both for their good and for the good of their neighbor and society at large. And yet, people are having a hard time doing this. Many of us are eager to get to business as usual. But I think we would be foolish not to reflect on the fact that business as usual, at least partially, is how we've gotten here. And particularly in the Black community, business as usual has led to higher rates of the disease as usual. And why is it so hard for us to sit still? Because our identity is so heavily tied to the moves we normally make when doing business as usual. But it seems like with the constant rat race, the world has been in the past, for the past 100 years, a time to stop has been long overdue. It's interesting that at the time of the fastest and longest advancements in technology, the best solution we are able to find is the simple order to stay home. The phrase stay home brings many connections for me. As a Christian growing up in the Seventh-day Adventist tradition, I have to stay home was a response I became accustomed to giving regularly on Friday nights or Saturdays when my friends wanted to connect with me and they wanted to, you know, go outside and hang out and go to parties and all that kind of stuff. This was due to a biblical principle called Sabbath. The original biblical word for Sabbath means to halt or to cease or simply to rest. In essence, it was a full 24-hour weekly day off, which the people were commanded to take time and refrain from doing any work or striving to succeed or achieve or trying to provide for their own needs. All right? And of course, we're referring to like non-urgent needs. If somebody's bleeding out on the floor, of course, you got to take care of that right away. But that was the main type of Sabbath that most people know of and talk about today. But the Bible also talks about a few different types of Sabbath. And one of those in particular relates, I think at least, relates to this stay-at-home order very closely during this coronavirus period. And that is called, or this Sabbath in particular was called a Sabbath for the land. Every 7 years, the followers of Yahweh in the Bible were supposed to cease from farming their land, and they were to allow their land to have rest. Okay, this would also affect, think about it, this would affect the animals, this would also affect those who worked the land, servants or what have you, like everybody would be able to rest from working the land for a year and the land itself would have rest. And so if the land was going to produce during that seventh year, anything that it produced, any food it produced, fruit, what have you, vegetation, it would do so on its own and not because people were forcing it to produce based on working it. So you can imagine a few things. First, there was a level of trust you had to have in God in order to refrain from farming for a whole year. Our natural human inclination is to always be producing as much as we can at all times. To stop producing makes us feel like we are losing ground, pun intended. In our ability to take care of ourselves. We see our ability to produce as tied to our status in society for many of us. However, the Sabbath, in all its forms, was continually a reminder that your identity was not tied to your work production. This is even more impactful if we keep in mind that the Sabbath in commandment form was given to a group of people who had just been rescued from slavery. Slaves' value is found in their ability to work. What God did here was to set up a system where a person's value would be found simply in that they are made in the image of God. Secondly, this meant that God would have to anoint your work so that 6 years of work would produce 7 years of fruit. And even if it didn't, the fruit that the land produced on its own without farming in the seventh year would be enough. It came down to a matter of trust in God's ability to provide for our needs instead of us trying to provide for our own needs. So, a whole year where you did not have to work the land. And guess what? The original group who were given the Sabbath commands had to be exiled eventually from the land given by God. And one of the specific reasons they were exiled by God from the land is because they would not let the land have its Sabbaths. They never let up. They worked the land through the seventh year continually. And ultimately, they showed that their trust was in what they could produce through the work of their own hands and not in God's status as creator and provider of all things. They were exiled for at least 70 years because that's how many Sabbaths the land had missed. If a Sabbath came every seventh year, then that means they had been working the land for potentially 490 years straight through. So, why bring this up? I think we have a unique opportunity here to push pause and to just be who we truly are as images of God. Who are you when work is taken away? Who are you when school is taken away? Who are you when your normal social connections are at a distance? What things are worth thinking about while it's quiet? What do you put your trust in when no matter how good you are at your job may not be around for you to do? It's my suggestion that we use this time to put our trust back in the God who created us and gave us an identity as a reflection of Him before we ever even were able to lift a finger to do a job or to go to school or any of these other things that we put and find our identity in. It's also my suggestion that we reconsider how we will approach our lives once we are released from doing our bids at home. Will we forget how fragile life is? Will we work ourselves to death and forget to trust God even with our time? Will we forget how we needed everyone to be of help to each other in order to get through this? Or will you begin to incorporate your own Sabbath regularly in your life? Will you trust that God will provide? Will you work your employees to death, for those of you who are business owners, or will you help them to take time out and rest, stop, and cease for their own good as well? So that's what I wrote. And there are some other thoughts that came to mind, you know, with all of that. But I think, you know, this being Passover weekend, I think it's also important to think about things from that lens as well. That even, you know, God in Genesis chapter 1, it says that he worked and then he rested and he invited us into that rest. OK, and so if you think about it, the human beings were the last thing to be created aside from the seventh day. And so immediately they enter into their first full day being a day of rest. And it's almost it is God saying, hey, I've already done all of the necessary work for your sustenance, you know, to meet your provision that you would need. I'm inviting you immediately. Your first act is to rest in the work that I've already accomplished. And I think it's fitting to think about it, you know, through the lens of this Passover weekend as well, or Easter weekend, as we call it, you know, nowadays. But because right before Jesus died, you know, yesterday was Good Friday. I'm recording this on a Saturday or a Sabbath, you know. But on what we call Good Friday, right before Jesus dies, he specifically says, "It is finished." And what he's referring to there is the work that he specifically came on earth to do, you know. And I think that's important for us to keep in mind as well, you know, to take it a little bit beyond merely just our normal day-to-day work. But also, sometimes we get caught in the trap of, you know, trying to work for our own salvation. And Jesus here continues the work that was begun in Genesis by saying, hey, he right before he dies, he says, "It is finished." And then the very next thing that he does is he stays in the grave and does nothing. He stays dead during the Sabbath day. All right. He rests on the Sabbath after he completes the work that he came on this earth to do, and then rises again on the first day of the week. And I think that that's saying something, that, you know, the invitation that we have is in that the work that Jesus did was complete for our salvation. And so nothing that we do adds to that. Though we are supposed to do works, we're not supposed to work through from the lens of trying to earn our own salvation. But we learn, we in essence work because it is our honor, and it is our response to the work that God has already done. You know, in essence, it's we don't got to, we get to, as some people have said. Our work is simply comes from the heart as a thank you, so to speak, and as a reflection of, this is what it looks like to live as a person who has been saved, not so much as a person who is trying to be saved. Okay. And that might fly over the head of some individuals, but hopefully, you know, it'll catch up to you later on one day. And so again, I think that this is a time where we need to take pause, you know, reflect, and think about even what this means. I talked a little bit about social justice aspects of this a little bit earlier, but the Sabbath commandment is a commandment not only to look out for yourself, but to look out for your neighbor. It says, 6 days shalt thou do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. But then it goes into this: thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. And what it's saying there is those who you have, authority over, you know, because in those days, the head of the household, the one who owned the land, had authority over quite a bit of individuals. And he also had authority over those of his household. All right. And so think about those who you have authority over, or who you are a leader over in some way, shape, or form. Being mindful to ensure that you look out for their good, and give them a time to rest and reflect. All right. And I just think that the fact that we've been forced to stop, you know, the whole world has been forced to stop. It's almost as if there's a Sabbath that has been dedicated to the land, because we don't stop. We work this land and we work each other to death. But also thinking about, you know, the duty that we have to look out for each other through the Sabbath command, I want you all to think about, especially, unfortunately, we're seeing these high rates in Black communities again. I want us to think about, hey, those of us who aren't, you know, willing to stay at home, do you really love your neighbor? Those of us who are Christians and say that we love our neighbor, but we won't stay home, do we really love our neighbor? Because we've been told that some of us can be carriers of this, and though we may be fine and may not have some symptoms, have you thought about the elderly person who doesn't have the immune system to deal with it? Have you, that you might come into contact with and put in harm's way? Have you thought of the person who might have asthma or some sort of, kidney disease, kidney failure, other things that make them vulnerable to this disease? Or are we still stuck in only thinking of ourselves and what we want to do? All right. And I also want to, admonish that, hey, this also brings up, I think P. Diddy had a great conversation. It's called, I think it was called like the state of emergency or something like that, where they were talking about the fact that, hey, the fact that this disproportionately affects Black people is, again, a sign that we still have a lot of work to do in this country as far as equality. Why is it that Black individuals are being disproportionately affected by this thing? A lot of people who don't acknowledge some of the challenges that policies and stuff have and how they negatively affect Black individuals. Are you willing to say, hey, man, I love my neighbor enough to really take seriously how do we explore ensuring that risk is spread equally and safety is spread equally amongst all populations in this country? And it is a challenge that I'm putting out there, and hey, guess what? The Bible challenges us regardless of our skin color, regardless of our political ideologies and all that kind of stuff, because there's still a challenge to even the marginalized in society, where the Bible says, hey, even for those who have traditionally marginalized you, left you on outskirts, forgotten about you, treated you wrongly, have basically made themselves an enemy to you, are you still willing to look out for the good of even that neighbor, the neighbor that might even be an enemy to you? There is still that challenge. And so while a lot of people, have felt like, oh, I can't sit still at home, I just want us to not take for granted that we have a time to sit and reflect on some of these things. Doing business as usual in many ways has gotten us to this point. Will we take the time out to stop and think about whether we need to do some things differently now and whenever these stay-at-home orders should be lifted and we get the go-ahead to move about freely again? Will we begin thinking more intentionally about what we're doing, how we're overworked, how we treat our neighbor, how do we really love our neighbor in action? So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. I'm starting to ramble a little bit now, but I hope that this was helpful in terms of giving somebody a framework. I just felt like this weekend, a bunch of different things have come together. The coronavirus, Passover weekend, and the Sabbath all kind of have converged in this one point. And so I felt moved to say a little something about all of these things. And I also want us to remember that ultimately this grave, the grave, since we're talking about Passover, wasn't able to hold and keep Jesus Christ and ultimately showed his power. And I want you all to remember that wherever you are, the ultimate goal is salvation. And, in the Nipsey Hussle's brand is called the marathon. And that concept has really been important for me to think about as I've continued to grow older. And now in my mid-30s, I was a sprinter back in high school. And I love sprints. That's my favorite aspect of track and field. And I was I was good at what I did. But I have come to value the concept of a marathon when it comes to life. And most things of value in life are only recognized through a marathon. Rarely do sprints lead to, the real value in life. And so if that's the case from a human perspective, think about how much more, in a spiritual and heavenly perspective, that we have to trust that God is able to see the marathon much clearer than we are, and that he has a much longer range of view than we do, and that ultimately we can trust, you know, that he knows what he is doing, and that in the end, he will save us. And so everything might not go our way right now. We might be stuck at home. Some of us have unfortunately lost loved ones, and it hurts. And, you know, it seems like there's nothing good about that. And I don't think God would say that it's a good thing that loved ones have passed away, unfortunately. That's a life lost. But we ultimately trust that in the end, God's will and good will prevail. Even if we don't understand how it's looking right now, we might be at a point in the marathon where it might look like we're losing, but we do trust that everything is a setup, that in the end it would all work out for our good, for those who decide to put their trust in the Lord. So I'll leave it at that, man. Average is failure. Hope that you all find this valuable, and I'll try to do a better job of sharing some thoughts that I think would be helpful. That's one thing that I'm trying to commit to doing a little bit differently. And business as usual is me holding on to these thoughts and, you know, just keeping them in my head. But what good does it do? It just stored and laid up with me. If I can help somebody and give somebody a word, I would love to. So that's it for me, y'all. Y'all be well, stay safe, and stay home. God is good. Peace.